We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to be down at Fadley's giving away these, the Maryland Lottery, giving me the Pac-Man scratch-offs. This has been one of the more popular scratch. I mean, I give away the Raven scratch-offs. But like these, because they're bright yellow and everybody wants the little cherry guys, you get the bonuses and all that. Pac-Mans have been a lot of fun. We'll be at Fadley's each and every Friday. I am putting the list together. I'm wearing my Costas shirt today. We'll be back at Costas in June. I have Coco's. I have State Fair. I have Pappas in the Parkville Pappas. They're all back on the docket. So the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Jiffy Lube Multicare, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping our water clean and getting us out on the road. This guy puts us out on the road. Dude, I've had so much coffee that I've already decaffeinated. I don't have my cold roofing mug here because I've been drinking from it. My tongue's still coffee color from my coffee. Bill Cole is here from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy and Solar and making things happen. First things first, thanks for inviting me out with Accelerant last week. I had a really nice time at the zoo. I pet rhinoceroses, and unlike Ed Mullen, I did not put any of the pictures up on social media. And with my wife, I thought that like I had left her out of it. And, I felt bad about it because we were smelling the rhinoceroses and touching the rhinoceroses and taking pictures. There were cool people that I like Barry Glassman was there and different people that you know were there. And I thought, man, I feel terrible that my wife couldn't be here and she had to bow out because she had to work. And then I come home and she's like, you do know my sister and I did the rhinoceros encounter last year. And I'm like, you did what? She's like, yeah, remember when you dropped me off the zoo and me and my sister got hammered and you have to come back and pick us up? I'm like, oh, that was Brew at the zoo. She's like, yeah, we went early. We did the rhinoceroses in the morning. And I'm like, honest to God, didn't know that they had rhinoceroses there. I would have said they were hippopotamuses. I didn't know. But the rhinoceros thing's like a real thing. And you love the zoo and you love talking about the zoo.
Yeah, I think what you're hitting on is what I've find most intriguing. Like, most of us have some memory of the zoo as a child, and like whatever, life takes you in a whole other direction,
and then you have kids and you go back to the zoo.
Well,
like I
or,
did
yeah or maybe you even forgot about it, right? Like, that's what I keep running into is when people are like, man, I haven't been to the zoo in 40 years or 30 years. I'm like, oh, you need to go, man. It's a totally different ball game. And like, even the business of zoos is a different business, Like, it's not a carnival anymore. Like, this is about
education
and learning about the animals and conservation. And I mean, they're doing just a phenomenal job. They've got like the best people. Every time I meet someone that like works there,
you're impressed as hell.
I'm super
right?
Fascinated. Like,
I can tell, man, you were in love with the rhinoceros girl. Yeah.
Like, that's so wild.
Yeah. She was awesome, man. Feeding this rhinoceros these grass balls and the rhinoceros came over wanting more and banged its horn up the like, and we're like, what if it gets out and how do we, don't get pinched. It's an 8,000-pound creature there. Eel rough, like, and they live in dirt. They have dirt on them the whole time. And I'm like, do you rinse them off? They're like, no, they don't like that. And I'm like, okay, man. Like, I don't know. I've never hung out with a rhino. I'm just trying to figure out my cat and I'm on the third one. You know what I mean? Getting good at it.
Yeah, it's super fascinating. And some of the other stuff like that they're doing with like, you figure technology's advanced and it's like, sure, we all know we have a cell phone in our pocket and whatever software you use every day at work. And then like, wait a second, there's this zoo and there's these people who are like taking new technology and applying it to learning, behavioral analysis from the animals and trying to make better enclosures where they are more active and taking, I might get the story wrong. I want to say it was a porcupine, but it might have been like a...
Might have been an armadillo.
Yeah, nah, it definitely wasn't an armadillo, but it was a smallish mammal creature that was really old. It was one of our geriatric animals, and it had kind of stopped climbing. And like this one zookeeper like set up Wi-Fi cameras and like built the enclosure in a certain way and kind of saw where the animal stopped climbing. So he like changed it around and he changed it around and he changed it. And like every couple months, he ended up getting this animal that hadn't climbed in a long time. You can't have a conversation with him. But it sure looks like they are now living their best life again, because now it's climbing up all over these tree branches. I'll say, it's just crazy the kind of stuff that's going on there that they're able to learn,
The love of animals that they
and
have. You know,
just
if
the
you're there and you
intersection
love
of,
animals or you're interested in animals or frightened by animals, whatever it is. By the way, this gives me a perfect opportunity with Bill Cole to do exactly what he wants me to do with the Maryland Zoo. And if you're watching on the video, I think you probably can just click on that. But let me read this to you. All for Animals, June 6th from 5:30 to 8:30, networking for a great cause. This Maryland Zoo fundraiser features food and drinks, animal experiences, and a silent auction where guests can bid for a chance to win a unique animal naming opportunity. If you win a donkey and you name it Nestor, I'm going to kill you, Bill Cole. I'm just letting you know right now, especially if it's a
I
long
think that's
ear.
a great
Christmas
idea.
donkey. Look, I'm
Yeah,
giving you, I'm feeding you now.
that was good.
Don't feed the animals.
I can raise money around that concept. So
All right.
there's a couple people out there, or a couple organizations that I think would pay money to have a donkey named after you at the zoo. That's good stuff. Thank
I
you
hear
for that.
Angelos has a nice honorarium, so maybe he could
Right.
contribute. I need to talk to you about like ownership and entrepreneurial stuff. I went to the Oriole game last Thursday. Curio Wellness gave me beautiful seats, had four seats, offered you couldn't go. Other people went. Chris Pika went with me, Greg Landry, executive producer from Blue Rock Productions, and my childhood friend Brian Poole, attorney Poole of T Row.
How was
One of my
attendance?
A lot of Yankee fans down in the good seats where I was. I mean, you know, I was in the fourth row right behind the dugout, scaring the players, yelling at the players, heckling, doing all that, baking. It was hot, man. It was 100
Yeah,
degrees
no
hot.
doubt.
It was carbohydrate hot, you know. But attendance, okay. I mean, disappointing. Like if you're asking me for the truth, it was a Thursday against the Yankees. It was 100 degrees. I couldn't get anybody to go with me. You know, I
Right.
finally Chris came along and took the four ticket. But it's tough breaking away from work and this and that. And but they're, dude, the team's never been better than it is. Let's just sweep aside whether they win three this weekend, lose two this, whatever it is. The pure potentiality of the team and the franchise and everything that it represents. You and I talked baseball a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think we've talked in maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but the number one question that comes to me in my real world, on my social media, everywhere I go, especially after the documentary, is, are they going to give you your press pass back? Like, people are asking me this as though I have the answer to that. I do not have the answer to that. I've given the only answer I can give, which is I'm under review, whatever under review is. I've sent the documentary over to Mr. Rubenstein and his people at this point. TJ Brightman's lived. TJ Brightman knows that I'm a legitimate media person that he's locking out. He's doing it because he enjoys it. Same thing with Greg Bader. Greg Bader knows I have a real radio station. They allow my Caucasian employee to go. The problem we're running into is on draft night where the Ravens won't let me in and the Orioles won't let me in. We have a seat with only one person's name on it, and he's only one guy, and I can't cut him in half. He can't be at Oriole Park and at Owings Mills. They threw me out of Owings Mills because I didn't go to Owings Mills enough, and yet they won't let me come. So that's the whole gaslighting part of all of this and the Sashi Brown thing I'll get to in a minute. But Mr. Rubenstein and buying a team for $1.7 billion and what you would think of on the outside and what I would think of is, why did he do this? What is his why? Did he want to squirt fans in the outfield? Does he want to make $1 billion more? Does he want to make the city a better place? Does he want to win a city? Hopefully, yes, yes in every box, right? But where are you on watching TV commercials that look like they're expensive and bought by New York? You know what I mean? Like they look like they're contrived, like storyboard commercials about, here's an idea for you, Mr. Rubenstein. Do you want to do this? You want to squirt people? Do you want to sit in the box? Do you want to sit with Ryan Ripken and do a podcast? Do you want to? I don't know what the next thing is when you're squirting fans in left field, right? Like, I mean, I don't mean to be facetious. I think it's beautiful. It's wonderful.
Right.
It feels like it has some authenticity to me. But I'm not in a position to ask him about any of this, but I have so many questions, Bill. And just watching it, like Mass in the broadcast, what he want, like what his vision is. I have real questions about his vision and his why. I am fascinated, and I have not watched, I admitted this to Luke, because I haven't met him, I haven't talked to him. I have purposely stayed away from all of the interviews on the internet. I haven't watched him with Cal Ripken last week, where he does an hour of asking New York people for money to come to, which is beautiful. I just don't want to be polluted by anything other than the man I meet. I don't want to meet him on TV.
I do think it's genuine that he has a genuine humbleness about him that allows him to
have a sense of humor.
Allow himself to enjoy, you know, what his life has now, you know, this, what this opportunity has, you know, all the things that he's done that have led to this. Wow, I'm now the owner of this team, and I had, you know, a childhood love affair, and, you know, there's lots of fun stuff, and like, it's okay to just kind of be silly and have fun with it. And I think that's, it's so good at times, Ness. I'm like, I'm skeptical. Like I'm worried.
The number one piece of advice I would have given him 8 weeks ago is make us forget about the other guy as soon as possible. Right. You need to make me, especially I told his guy on opening day, I said, I'm not bullshitting you. I'm traumatized. Like, what's happened to me, my family, my business, to people around me, to Mike Flanagan, the way I've seen everyone treated, including the fact that Cal Ripken's finally in and showing up, tells you all you need to know. Cal Ripken wanted no part of this for a quarter of a century either. Neither did lots of sponsors, lots of people. I said, you know, the unworking of not being Peter, and when I put it on, not having that visceral feeling that Peter owns it. Even being at the ballpark last week, I reached in my wallet and I felt something I haven't felt in my pocket in a long time, in my credit card. And I was thirsty. And I thought, whom am I giving my money to? Oh, I'm giving it to nice Mr. Rubenstein, who's going to use it to sign Adley Rutschman. Like, there's a different thought than giving it to these creeps that still owe me 30 grand from 20 years ago that they didn't pay me.
I when you create the to-do list of things that you want your baseball owner in the city of Baltimore to like represent and work on and do and all that good stuff, he seems to have created that list, you know, and his list matches everybody's list. You
what
know?
Kind of owner am I going to be, right?
Yeah, like, and he's just continues to nail it, like one after another. It really is amazing, you know, exciting. None of it's too big for him, right? Like if you think about the circles that he's played in for the last decade or two, and you think about the Rolodex and the things that he has done, it's one thing for people to write big checks. It's another thing to write big checks, but also be involved to the point where you're getting other people to write big checks.
Well, this is where I get after Bisciotti, because Bisciotti has disappeared and literally physically ran from me, like a coward in darkness, because he wanted not to speak to me because he was afraid of what I would say to him in some way. And I'm thinking to myself, this is how far we've gone here, where I spent my whole life chasing your football team around, promoting your football team. And this is where we are. And not only about Nestor, he doesn't show up for anything. He's not here. He's not present. He writes checks. And that's when he shows up. He shows up and says, here's a check for the poor folks. Here's a check for the people of a different color. Here's the check for people less fortunate. And here, let me write the check. And okay, I mean, if that's what you got, that's what you got. But I judge it as such because I've seen it work differently.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly not fun for him, right? Like he clearly doesn't get any joy out of participating in seemingly any aspect of it, right? Like, you know, what's the worst thing they say you can do is like figure out a way to make your hobby a job. So like he might have been a football fan until he bought the football team, and now it's like a job, and it just sucked the life out of it for him. Or, you know,
That feeling. If you watch the documentary, you know, I got into this because I love baseball. I got into this because I wanted to talk about baseball for a living and be able to pay my bills doing that, you know, and he knew what paying my bills even meant in the beginning of all this. All of this was rooted in, I love the baseball team, and there was no football team to love. I love the concept of having a football team, and then we had it and loved it even more, you know?
I mean,
So,
imagine just to maybe draw some kind of analogy. Like football, I don't really know what's going on in football. I mean, they've had some challenges. They continue to have the challenge of like the character of the players, and that happens a dozen times a season. Somebody's misbehaving pretty
Oh, there's a
egregiously.
level of arrogance in
So,
the NFL that just drips out of Goodell into every avenue, including their officiating, including sitting Eric DaCosta in front of gambling, you know, on a gambling lounge set, talking about his football players. Like, we're just, I think about Stedman because he was in the 25th anniversary. If he came back or my dad, what they would recognize and what they wouldn't, and what they would say, when did that happen? And not things like, you know, when did they change the Redskins name? But things like how did it get to this place where Steve Bisciotti bought this thing that we all saw as a local, you know, vested Baltimore thing and turn it into a world headquarters of one of 32, where it's run by the, you know, in a lair somewhere in the halls of justice, and they run Sashi Brown this week. I got to tell you this one, Bill, because I'm gonna break a little ground. There's a thing called the CEO Club. I think you're familiar with it. I've been familiar with it as well. I've attended their events. They bring business leaders in. It's $98 to have lunch. Nice guy named Doug runs it. I've been a part of it. I tried to attend this week with Sashi Brown, and they would not let me buy a ticket. I was not allowed to buy a ticket to an event, a CEO, and I am a CEO, CEO Club event that I've been every month. I get the thing, please come, buy a ticket, buy a ticket. This month, they told me to drink from another water cooler because they promised the Ravens that they wouldn't allow any media at the event. Well, we brought up the fact that I'm not media, and they came back and re-amended it to say that they promised the Ravens that there would be no media past or present at the event. So we now have the guy who is an out-of-town, lacking every ounce of authenticity that you would say he is a hired gun. He has worked for the Cleveland Browns. He has worked for Mr. Leonsis. He is now running the lair of the Purple Place. Doesn't know where Dundalk is. Probably didn't know there was a Key Bridge till it fell. And he is now banning me from buying a ticket on a golf course for a lunch to hear his pitch. I mean, like, all I really wanted to do was hear, like, what are you saying to folks at said golf course? Why are you there? Are you there trying to sell them sky boxes, or when they're, or that you're showing the authenticity that you're a real guy and you're there when you're banning other people from being there? Like, this is where we are with the football team. And meanwhile, that's Thursday. That's happening at a golf course near you. Friday night, the new owner of the baseball team, who also hasn't given me a press credential, is squirting fans out in left field and wearing a funny hat and doing commercials. Like, I'm just saying, times has changed here, my dude. With things have changed since Christmas around here. Let me just say that,
Well,
you know?
I like not to, because I find the whole Ravens thing just so generally bizarre. I get your version. There nobody's getting their version, so
Well,
it, the whole thing
because
just is
they won't give their
bizarre.
version. That's the point.
I get it.
I had to go
So
get a $500,000 and find a lawyer to get their version.
I'm trying to draw some analogies or trying to build some understanding around it. Like, let's go back and what do you think it was like to be a baseball owner in the peak of the steroid era, where like you knew that your players were fundamentally destroying the integrity of the game by beating Roger Maris's record because of HGH or whatever.
You know what
Like,
they did? They went to New York and said, "How can we sell more tickets?" And they did a commercial called "Chicks Dig the Long Ball." Remember that? Do you remember that? "Chicks
I
Dig the
do. Of
Long
course I
Ball."
do. Of
Yeah.
course I do. Right. So, but as an owner, so like, if you know that all of this is going around and you're sort of like, well, we got to ride the wave. I mean, someday the House of Cards is going to collapse, and when it does, we're all going to have to walk in front of Congress and blah 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 and all this other terrible stuff. Like
Well, they had jettisoned their leadership at that point.
those
Bart
guys.
Giamatti died. Faye Vincent came in. Faye Vincent was a straight shooter. They fired him. Faye Vincent was an honest guy and said, we got problems. We got to clean the game up. We got to fix the game. We have to win people's integrity. We need to change. And they said, Faye, you're out. But Buddy came in and I mean, Bud Selig was Che Guevara. I mean, Bud Selig put together the group of owners that jettisoned the commissioner that was in the best interest of the game, Peter Ueberroth, right? Like, where the fans were legitimately a partnership or thought about in any way as a customer. And that's all gone away in a massive way, really. You know, the fans as the customer, the fans are the ATM. They're not thought of as having emotions, or their emotions are, they're a mark. Like, wrestling fans, like, they're addicted to this. If the Orioles are their family member, and when they lose for 30 years in a row, people will still come out there and keep score because that's where they are.
That's what's making Rubenstein so exciting, because, like, so if you're the owner in the steroid era, you are not being the guest splasher, right? You're trying to avoid anybody asking you a tough question. You don't want to accidentally be the one that spills the beans and pushes it over the edge, right? So everybody's walking on pins and needles, and you're as far away from transparency as possible. Rubenstein comes in, and he is behaving how a extremely wealthy fan would behave, right? Like guest splasher? Hell yeah, sign me up, I'm in, no doubt. And, like, that's wonderful. Cal Ripken, you mean I can sit with Cal Ripken and talk baseball? Like, we can talk about something? Yeah, I want to do that. Like, you think this guy's calendar wasn't full before? Like, he's getting off of other boards. He's not going to other meetings. Like, his calendar just got absorbed by being the Oriole owner. And he doesn't have to do that. Like, that's a choice. He has people to run the team.
But he's a 74-year-old billionaire.
He is having a blast. He's having a blast, right? And that's what gives everybody, I mean, not to mention, let's.
But he also can affect massive change with his stature, right?
Just by having fun. Yeah, just by having fun and treating people in the right way. Like, let's not forget, and I think you opened with this comment. Like, I don't know when the last time there was a more better quality baseball, funner group of guys to root for than there are right now.
This is the best baseball team of my lifetime here. And I saw the 79 Orioles and 83 right? Orioles, and I saw the bought off 96 Orioles with that guy from Toronto and that guy from Toronto and that guy from Texas and, you know, that jackass over there from Philadelphia. And, you know, like, I was in a locker room for all that. And then it all went away for 15 years. And Buck brought a couple of guys together 10 years ago, and Andy McPhail, and they stunk enough to get Manny Machado, right? And fleeced the Rangers on Chris Davis and got him the right drugs, and he hit 50 home runs. Like, I've been here for everything. There's never been anything like this team right here. And especially now with Bradish and Means coming back and pitching. It's crazy.
You were rooting for Rafael Palmeiro and Roberto Alomar, holding your nose.
Albert Bell,
right. There's plenty of that, right? So like, this is so great and fun to root for, and the owner
Brady Anderson looked like Popeye after he looked like the guy. He went from the left side of the Charles Atlas ad to the right side of the Charles Atlas ad. You know?
Yeah, there's some element of, like, warning signs on the football side that, like, you know, it was fairly obvious with the steroids. Like, everybody was talking about it, but no one was doing anything about it. I'm not sure what's going on in football, but, like, how many – and I only know the owner in Baltimore, right? But you talk about, like, just keeping everything at an arm's length and, like, not really wanting to – be transparent and not really wanting to be involved and engaged, and like the exact opposite of the guy who is thrilled to now be the owner of the Orioles. So, like, what's going on? You know, like, is it all just so terrible that he has to hold his nose to go to work, and the GM, you know, like Eric DaCosta, is like put in these terrible positions? Like, I think for a decade, people thought Eric DaCosta was a really great guy and You know what I mean? Like, he look at this, like Ozzie's grooming him, and this is going to be amazing, and it's going to keep going. And he seemingly is a good GM. Like, he's going to figure it out, and they're going to be good. And then there's John, and like, I love him, hate him, whatever. But like, all of that just seems so not. Well, it'll never be like Ted Marchabrota in the beginning, and then it'll never be like Billick in the middle, and it'll never, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine that it's not ever them. But it is a stark contrast between
I'm on the
the
inside,
two
Bill, and I'm not
ownerships.
proud of them. I'm not
That's
proud
what
of
I
the way
mean.
they've
Like, I
treated
don't know
me. I'm
what's
not
going
proud of the
on
way they've
and
treated other people. I've seen the arrogance on the inside. I am the living embodiment of seeing it and feeling it, and the lack of integrity just drips off of them in every way. And in comes this new owner, in comes this baseball team that's trying to win everybody's heart. I don't need to tell you for the last 5 years, the tickets that they threw me out of on the football team that I bought every year for 28, and they threw me out of my seats. They can't give these tickets away. And week
right.
after week, unless the Lions are coming in and buying 20,000 tickets, tickets are $10, $15 for Ravens games. So, and they're really good. This is as good a Raven team
Right,
as
right.
they've had. They don't have Ray Lewis dancing, but you know, this football team is expected. I bet the over-under is 11 and a half on the wins for them this
Like
year,
it,
right? Like they're going to be a
oh,
very good football team this year.
20 years from now, we will look back and we will have underappreciated how special Lamar was. You
I
know,
don't know.
like,
He's got to win a championship. I mean, I'm not
I
being
hear
that guy,
you,
but
but
you know, like.
just a special player. Yeah, he may never win a championship, and that may be, you know, the destruction of the way we remember him, but
Well, look at Tom Brady. He
just
won
as
six
a
of them, and now he's
player.
admitted to cheating, right? Which we knew all
Right,
along, right?
right.
And you laugh about that, but it's not fun. Like, he cheated.
But it is
Like,
funny.
they didn't fumble at home. He
But it is
cheated.
funny.
He
It is
cheated.
funny. The minute that it stops becoming fun is the part where you allow them to make a business out of it, and it's not sports and entertainment, right?
Well,
Like
if you're betting your money on it and it's fixed. If you're betting your money on it and they're allowing cheating and allowing, and it's a Super Bowl, I mean, don't tell Chuck Pagano, don't tell John Harbaugh that Bill Belichick cheated and cheated him out of winning a champion. I mean, you know, that's where I agree with Harbaugh on that. I'll burr up on that all day long. But like that roast happened this week and stuff. I mean, what's happened to Kaepernick? You
I'm
know,
not
what
saying.
the league itself is just, it's a
Right.
sleazy operation. I mean, I had the New York Times writer call it organized crime on my airwaves. Like literally, that's how he views it, and he's a journalist. And but that being said, the baseball owner's out soaking people right now. Tickets are $10 to get in. If you know what I mean? There's a bandwagon, there's room on it. They might even let me back in. It's under consideration apparently, until I open my big mouth.
There's like you, we could not have 2 years ago, a year ago, even when they were like winning the AL East, you could not have painted a picture as exciting as it is right now. Like, if I was
When
like,
I'm in Arlington in
tell me how
October,
great this could be,
when
and
I'm in
there's no
Arlington
way
in
you could have did
October,
it.
and John has lied to Westmore. Westmore has embarrassed himself. It's October. I'm down there. They're losing 2-0. They're about to get their ass kicked. They are denying me clubhouse access after Major League Baseball gave me a credential. They had to sit at the kids' table. They put our seats as far away from everything. They denied my reporter a clubhouse badge. I can't begin to tell you that I've ever seen Luke Jones more upset than he was for the first six innings of that baseball game. And we're down there. At that moment, if you would have told me that Preakness week, Peter will be dead, John will be gone, there'll be a silver-haired billionaire squirting fans in the fan zone, the team would be in first place, Bradish would be hurt but back, Rodriguez would be coming back, Means would be pitching coming off of seven innings, and like, I wouldn't have said to you, well, who did the Ravens draft? You know, like I literally would have said, you got to be kidding me. If you would have told me that back in October, that was my birthday week, October 14th. If you would have told me that week that in May, by Preakness, the series of events that have happened would have they've traded for a number one starter. You know, like all of this that's gone on the baseball side, they've got $600 million. They're going to do something with it. That's why I want to be a part of it. That's what I told Mr. Rubenstein's guy. I'm like, you're having a renaissance. Why are you locking me out? Like, do you not want me to feel a part of it? Because I haven't felt a part of it for the last 18 years. Why do you want me to not feel a part of it? Like, what's in it for you to lock me out? All I have are questions about your grandiose plans. And then I'm going to hold you accountable to them. How dare me? But then I'm going to hold you accountable for that. And that's what my ask of the Orioles is, because this is universally one of the most exciting things that could happen to me, the city, my business, our businesses, downtown, the future of the city over the next 20 years. It's as exciting a step as anything that's happened here. And as a journalist, I'd like to ask questions, you know, like that. That's where I am on it, because I am fascinated by all of it. I really am. It's fun to watch.
I was trying to find, there was an article, I think it was over the weekend, just about him going to D.C., trying to get people to come up to the games. And all
well,
that
was the Cal Ripken thing I haven't watched. Yeah, it's an hour and 6 minute video. Yes.
But like all the wonderful things you just said there, you know, it's in the backdrop. See, you don't say it because we just expect people to understand it, but they don't, and we have to hold them accountable. He understands the magnitude of being the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore and what that can mean to the community, whether that's positive or negative. And we've gotten so calloused to the negative results of no one going and the restaurants not being able to survive and like, oh no, I don't go downtown and all that madness that has gone on for.
But through all of that, nobody spoke up except me.
That's what I'm saying.
Because there was an intimidation level for everyone that if you spoke up at WBAL, so they're all fundamentally cowards. I mean, it's like when I did the walkout, I had every one of those reporters come to my home. They've all been in my home. Everyone, Rock Kabako came to my home. They all came to my home and I told them, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this walkout in 06. I'd like to think that, you know, as a journalist, you see the validity of what's going on here to the city and that new ownership would create a positive change here. I saw that when I was 37 years old. I'm 55 now and we're now seeing it. And I often think, like, what would have happened if this would have happened in 2007 or 8 or 10 or Peter would have died 15 years, you know, like what would have happened to make this better? And we're in the here and now. This is where we are right now. I would like to ask him in more than three questions what the plan is. Because as my reporter, my Caucasian employee that they give a pass to, went to what he called a clunky press conference because of the Key Bridge had gone down opening day. I was banned from that by the governor and the Orioles. I didn't get in. And apparently it was a lousy press conference. I mean, by every imagine, like nobody really got real questions in on him. He's only sat with the nepotism of Ryan Ripken and his own network to some degree. And the Cal Ripken thing, it's been very orchestrated. I mean, it's been very handled. And that's why I'm getting handled. I mean, I'm under review. I mean, I'm getting handled, right? So these commercials aren't accidental. Splash Lake's not accidental. And I'm trying to figure
they're professionals.
Out.
They're professionals. A professional owner with a professional organization behind him who seemingly has the energy and the desire to participate in what he believes is a positive way, right? And the story isn't too big for him, right? The helping the city in, you know, improving the economic outcomes of the stakeholders.
This should be what he wants to talk about, right? Literally, he should want to be on shows like mine where that is the topic. The topic isn't, you're going to give Andy Rutschman money? You're going to sign him? Let Rock Kabako, let your employees ask those questions about signing the baseball players, because that'll play out in time. And anybody that knows anything, and this is why I'm glad I don't sit here and take phone calls. I mean, I sat in the stands last week and it was like the stuff I heard people say, just the information they're not privy to or don't care enough about. But like the Gunnar Henderson signing, like his agent's never, ever, 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 ever gone to market with a player before he's gone to market with a player. So to think that, like, you can love Gunnar Henderson, but you can't hold Mr. Rubenstein accountable if he doesn't sign here, because it won't be about money. It's about time, because he wouldn't sign here no matter what. I would think if you offered him $500 million right now, Scott Boras would find a reason to say, let me amortize that out over. It's not a good deal for you, Gunnar. You know, so he's not going to take the deal. So that's, if we're holding, if the standard is, are you going to sign these players? He can't do that today. You know, so like, that's not even a good question to ask.
No,
My questions to ask are about the city and about the $600 million and about the overall vision of gambling, television, network, city, harbor, investment. You're going to live here. You're going to work here. You're 74. What's the rest of your life going to look like? Those are the questions I would ask him.
And that's pretty much why you and I participate together, because you know that's the stuff I want to know about. Like, I get it. We got the baseball people. They're going to go out there and play that game, and then people are going to come watch the game.
I don't want to talk to Mr. Rubenstein about John Means in the rotation. I don't, you know.
And behind you, I want to know how we fill that orange building right there. Like, why isn't that orange building one of the premier, like, business office locations in the city? Like, why shouldn't that building be?
Well, at this point, it's our Lambeau Field, right? I mean, most people don't remember a life before it, right? Sure. Like, literally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Cole's here. He's Cole Roofing. He is Gordian Energy. Gordian Energy, you had a name change thing that I saw at the zoo last week at Accelerant. What do I need to know about the Gordian side of this, the solar side?
I don't know. You tend to do this to me where you like shock me and surprise me with some information that I'm not aware of.
No, was I saying it wrong? I've been calling it like solar, but I should be saying Gordian Energy Systems, even though it is solar.
Yeah, sure. You can do that. That's cool. Yeah.
I'm just trying to be educated. That's all. I don't want to say it wrong.
Energy Systems. That is definitely what its name is. Yeah.
Okay. But it's solar is what it is.
It is.
So I should say that.
Who's on first?
I mean,
it was. we have participated in a number of projects that are related to solar or semi-unrelated to solar, but the solar aspect of that business has gotten, you know, so much momentum and is so crazy right now that, yeah, it's entirely solar. Yes.
All right. Well, they're going to take me to Vegas next week. I'm going to learn more about solar. Every time I hear solar, my first movie I ever loved was The Man with the Golden Gun.
And
James Bond. I had some James Bond references this week with Dave Preston, who's the James Bond, like, encyclopedia, Wikipedia of James Bond, but they had the solar activation in that. There's a little solar thing when I was 5 years old and the sun came down and it allowed Scaramanga to blow the world up, or not blow it, but James saved the world. Of course he did.
Right.
But that was solar. That was when I was 5 years old and you put it on roofs now. It's amazing. What a world. What a wonderful world.
It is.
We're going to sit in the splash zone one day. Bill Cole has turned me down for Oriole tickets, but you and I are going to go to a game and buy expensive beer and sweat together while we have a chance to watch great baseball. Orioles are home this weekend. We're going to be down at Fadley's this week. We're putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Jiffy Lube Multicare and our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. Baseball, Preakness all next week. This town's coming together. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Believe it. Baltimore positives here to stay.